You're listening to American Girl Women with Laura Treader and Lindsay Adams-Franca. This is a podcast where two millennial gals gather around the microphone and reminisce on the cultural phenomenon that took our childhood by storm, American Girl dolls. Contrary to what you might think, we aren't just talking about dolls here. We're diving into the high highs and the low lows of getting hooked on American Girl and all the childhood memories that come flooding back. So join us and a few special guests each week as we become American Girl women.
Today on American Girl Women, we're joined by two incredible returning guests whose lives and work have been shaped by American Girl, Janine Naprakowski and Blake Chagnon. Janine is the project coordinator for cultural assets at Girl Scouts USA. She's also currently serving on the board of Yes She Can, Inc., which runs the American Girl resale store, Girl Again, in White Plains, New York, and has recently had an essay published in the American Girl Anthology, exploring the connection between American Girl and Girl Scouts, a must-read for any AG fan, past or present. Blake is the founder, president, and CEO of the Chagnon Family Museum of Toys and Collectibles, a digital museum showcasing his extensive Pleasant Company and American Girl collection, from books and dolls to marketing materials and rare collectibles. In addition to his work as a Pleasant Company and AG historian, Blake has built a career in marketing and communications, crediting Pleasant Roland's visionary strategies as a major influence. On today's episode, we'll trace their unique paths from a friendship sparked by American Girl and how that connection has led to new pursuits in the AG world. Plus, we'll get the inside scoop on the exciting projects they've been working on since we last caught up with them a few years ago on our podcast. Janine and Blake, welcome back to AGW.
Thanks so much for having us back. I'm so happy to see you again.
So excited to chat all things American Girl.
We're so excited to have both of you back, and our listeners might remember that we've spoken to both of you before, but individually. Gosh, I can't even remember exactly when each of your episodes aired, but it feels like ages ago. It's truly been a while, and since we last spoke to you, you guys have been hard at work both on your own individual projects, but also working together, and American Girl kind of brought you together in a new friendship. So it's so awesome that we've got the opportunity to have you both here with us.
I looked it up and we had Janine on in September 2023 and Blake on in April 2023, which really feels like a lifetime ago, even though it was only two-ish years since. But maybe in American Girl years, that is significantly longer. And as Laura just shared, you two have both done so much with American Girl individually and together since we spoke. And we're so excited to dive in today to hear what y'all have been working on since we last connected, but would love to lay the foundation here and just hear how you two initially connected with each other and started to form your friendship.
So I think I reached out to Blake after I heard his episode of AGW, but before I recorded mine, because I was looking for dates of when the American Girl Girl Scout uniform was created in the catalogs. Like, what was the first catalog it was in? What was the last catalog it was in? And I just like cold Instagram messaged and was like, hey, I listened to your podcast. Do you think you could check your catalog collection for me? And then we had a video call and the phone calls and like a bunch of other just sort of like nerding out and talking about different things. That's how we got started. Does that make sense, Blake?
Oh, absolutely. I remember exactly when that happened. I was in my new apartment and I got in that cold call and I was like, sure, I'd be more than happy to look at my catalogs. And I pull out all of my catalogs and I think I scanned a bunch of them and sent them off to you. But I think what really started the friendship, I've got a virtual museum. And so I love history. I love museums. But Janine, with you working at Girl Scouts headquarters and their archives, I was just fascinated to learn more from you. And so I think you're absolutely right. We had these nerding out moments where we talked about American Girl. Which one is your favorite? Which one did you grow up with? Tell me more about what your company's like. Tell me about your museum. What do you do to store your stuff? It was fascinating. And it just continued there on, really.
Yeah, I remember we talked about insurance pretty early on for your collection, because that's a lot of what I do is like is managing the collection, insurance, storage, packing, shipping, tracking, things like that. So we've talked a little bit about that. But we met in person. It was fall 2023, I guess.
Yeah.
Maybe October-ish, because it was nice and cool and leaves were pretty, where you came up to New York to meet me at Girl Again, which is the American Girl resale store that I volunteer with in White Plains, to pick up a really special purchase that you had made through us.
Yeah, so I remember that too, because I think it was not that long after you and I had connected about the catalogs and looking for the Girl Scout uniform. With your work at Girl Again, you and the executive director of the foundation and of the store had reached out and said, Blake, we have this really special product that has just been donated and we would love for you to buy it. Would you be interested, basically, is how it went. And I was like, I'd love to learn more. What are you suggesting? What was donated? I didn't know what it was. And Janine goes, it is a signed by Pleasant Roland white body Kirsten doll from 1987. And it was from its original owner. There were a few things missing. I think it had its box, but it didn't have its certificate. But its hair had never been undone. It was really in perfect condition from 1987. And she's like, would you be interested in purchasing it for your collection? And I said, absolutely, let's do this. And we actually tag teamed because we thought this would be a great opportunity for my museum followers on Instagram and all the other social media platforms that we're on, who may not be aware of what Girl Again was. So this was also our first time as a partnership for kind of our two, quote, brands coming together to kind of cross promote what it is that we do and what Girl Again and Yes She Can, which is the organization that runs Girl Again, does. And so we set out to do a social media campaign, and I had come down to New York City with my, at the time, partner, who's now my husband, and we made a big trip out of it, took the train and went to White Plains to pick up Kirsten. But we did this 11-minute live video from the store, kind of showcasing what Girl Again is all about, what you guys do, all the products that guests and visitors can find when they're shopping at the store, how a lot of the dolls and some of the items are like refurbished so that they're new again for that new owner. And then finally we saw signed Kirsten, and I remember it distinctly because I think your team had purchased white cotton gloves to make, like, to handle her. And here I am just picking her up with my bare hands, like lifting the dress up to look at the tummy to see it. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's touching it with like his oily hands. And I'm like, you know what? I'm purchasing it. It's fine. It's all good. But I just remember everyone kind of freaking out at that moment. But it was such a wonderful experience, and really getting to work with you, Janine, and everyone at Girl Again to really understand the mission of what it is that Yes She Can and Girl Again does.
And we also went to the Samantha house that day. We took a little field trip.
Oh my gosh.
That's a pretty close drive.
Oh my God. So, yes,
we got to be real nerdy and just kind of like scoped that out, took some cheesy pictures. So it was like a great first meeting in person where we sort of had a shared love. And I said earlier before we started recording, like, it was kind of like sitting down at like the table at kindergarten to like, I mean, like, hi, let's be friends. Like, I like this. You like this. Let's be friends.
Right. It's so simple. You know, like just something really like simple, even though, of course, it's very complex. There's so many different facets of American Girl, but something like just at face value that you both had in common and could engage on right away. I have to ask, just because I'm curious, but was it both of your first times at the Samantha House?
It was, I think, both of our first time. Yeah. I had known the area because I have an office in the area. Girl Scouts has a camp in Briarcliff Manor, which is sort of a couple towns over. Mm-hmm. But we looked it up online for the, and we're like, okay, we parked around the corner. We're like a little bit creepy walking up the block.
Yep. Well, yes, because, and I'm not saying that we were creepy, but the house is on one of the, not the busiest, but a busy street in Mount Kisco, New York, is where this house is located. And it's a private residence. It's not a museum. It's not anything. Mm-hmm. So like, you really shouldn't be going up to the person's house and knocking on the door, but there's like a little bit of like,
a part of a sidewalk.
Like part of a sidewalk with stairs on it that you
we
can,
didn't like trespass.
We didn't trespass. We were like right in the front of it. But I was just in awe because I'd seen this photo so many times in photos online. I think it was up for sale, I want to say a couple of years ago, probably 10 something years ago. So like seeing some of those pictures was great. And because Janine and I have such a close relationship with Valerie Tripp, who grew up in Mount Kisco and walked by that house every day when going to grade school. And so hearing her tell those stories whenever we would connect with her just was like, oh my gosh. And so we definitely did get a picture in front of the Samantha house. My partner at the time, but husband now, he was probably like, what is going on? He didn't understand what was going on. And I was just like, take the phone, and take some pictures. That's all you have to do. Just make sure that we're smiling, that the sun's not in our eyes or anything. It's great. And he's like,
and like, okay. As we were driving back and forth, you and I were like chattering. Like, he was just sitting in the back.
What did I get myself into? And here we are married now. So,
wow, that is truly the perfect way to spend a day, like in general. Absolutely. But to have that be the first time that you both met in person is so special.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I would say our relationship just grew since that meeting. That spring, I think Girl Again had a gala, right?
Yes, that's okay. Yes, I was wondering timeline. Yeah, so Girl Again, Yes She Can, and the organization honored Valerie for our 10th anniversary in spring 2024. So we had a big gala event, which Blake wonderfully attended. He's such a great sport, and Valerie spoke. It was delightful, lovely weekend. And so I got to see you again for that. And then shortly after that was the American Girl Review reunion that was in New York City from some of like the original cast from the store. And they were doing a bit of a singing cabaret and then like sing along. And so we were at that as well, which was a lot of fun. So it's kind of like all these events just keep coming up. We keep showing up too.
Well, the American Girls Review reunion concert was really fun, not only just because, you know, Valerie Tripp and her husband were there, but also Valerie Lee Schaefer, who wrote the Care and Keeping of You, the body book for girls, had also attended that. But it was also maybe a mini American Girl Women reunion because two other of your guests were there who had been on your show were also at the show. Sydney Paulson, who is a wonderful photographer on American Girl Instagram. Her handle is 5 Hens and a Cockatiel. And then Ashley, who does the American Girls Review and Dress Like an AG on Instagram as well, was there. And so it was really kind of a great reunion tour almost. Like, we all connected. I know Sydney and Ashley and I, we all connected beforehand. And we came back to Mount Kisco and took photos at the Samantha House, and then went to Girl Again and saw Janine, and then whizzed on back to the city for the concert that evening. So it was real fun. And to see these talented women who grew up performing these songs at the American Girl Place in New York City, who are now adults. Half of them, I think, were actors and performers now on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Others are decided to become teachers and go into other corporate fields and whatnot, but all come back together with one of the original directors and musical directors as well to put this show on. It was really amazing. The special guests, though, besides Valerie and Valerie, who were there, they had the original songwriting team and lyric team and book team who had written the musicals there as well. So it was really cool for these talented individuals who were there to see the two women who produced and created this show and performed it, really, to Pleasant Roland and Valerie Tripp, and said, we want to do this show on the American Girls collection. What do you think? And blew them out of the water. And here we are. So it was just a really fun event in American Girl history that day in New York in spring of 2024?
That was 24. Yeah. It was a great atmosphere.
It was.
And I had never seen the review. I think I had sort of aged out, especially by the time the New York store opened. I vaguely remember the Chicago store opening advertisement. So I had only ever seen videos, not seen it live. And so it was a really, really sweet night.
Oh, that's so wonderful. And how wonderful that all of those folks that performed in it, like, clearly it holds a very special place in their heart that they would want to come back. And I also love that a lot of them are still performers, because it just shows, you know, what an impact that opportunity had on their careers too, which is so awesome. So that sounds like an amazing event and truly a who's who of American Girl Women podcast guests, which I love.
It was really, I don't know, it was just a really fun, because I had never seen the show either. I had an aged out. I think they had just shut down the theater in Chicago. And I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago, but we just never went to the city. And so I just never had the opportunity. I listened to the CD. So it was just magical to be there and to hear, and like you said, I mean, these young ladies started off their musical career or theater career at the American Girl Place doing these shows, a lot of them. And they would tell stories about, like, yeah, I remember getting let out of school a little bit early and my mom picking me up and taking me to the store and having to go to New York City to perform that evening. It was just really special.
Wow, that sounds absolutely incredible. I'm so happy you two are able to attend. Blake, I'm curious, now that you have your Kirsten, which is just so incredible, since we last spoke, how has your collection grown? What is it looking like these days?
Oh my gosh. So I think the last time I chatted with you guys, I was living in a completely different state. So I have moved states. I am now in Washington, D.C., and most of my collection, I'll probably say 95% of it, is in storage just because it's just so expensive to live in cities nowadays. But it has grown. It has grown really big. What I tell people is, I think when I spoke on the show the last time, I was just about to launch an Addie exhibit, and she was the only historical character that I had a complete collection for. And I think I'm proud to say that I have complete collections for the original six girls. Which is incredible. Yes. I mean, everything down to, you could get, when you open the catalog at one of the back, you know, you'd have all the different episodes or chapters of the character's life. So like Meet, Learns a Lesson, Surprise, Birthday, Saves the Day, and Changes. But there would be the bedtime scene, and it would show like, buy Samantha's hair ribbons or buy Addie's shoes and socks. Like, all the way down to those little details. Like, I have those. And so I have those for the original six. And then I've got complete collections for a lot of the newer characters, historical characters as well. So we've got the twins, Isabel and Nikki, Courtney from 1986. Almost done with Julie, but not quite yet. I have a complete collection for Melody from the 60s, a complete collection for Mary Ellen of the 50s. Molly, I said, is complete. Nenea from 1941 is complete. Not almost done with Kit. Like, I got five more items for her, and I'm taking my time because there's just a thrill of like, oh my gosh, you know, I found this for a really good price, or you can't find it and you find it on like that saved eBay search, or it pops up on Facebook Marketplace and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. So I'm still working on Kit, Rebecca, but have Samantha, Addie, and Kirsten done. I have Josefina, I have Caroline, Cecile and Marie Grace.
Wow.
Felicity. I'm still working on Kaya a little bit, but I'm really focusing on the historical characters just because that was really the heart and soul of what Pleasant Company was. You know, do I have the Girl of the Year dolls? Yes. Do I have some of the Truly Me or Just Like You or American Girl of Today dolls? Absolutely. Bitty Baby, Bitty Twins, Willy Wishers. I have at least one or two items from those collections, but really the heart and soul of my collection is what is the heart and soul of Pleasant Company, were the American Girls collection, so those historical characters. So it has grown. I have, when my husband and I got this new apartment that we're in, I made sure we had a second bedroom, which acts as my office, but also as a guest room. But it's also like a mini exhibit area. So I've got this table and I'm able to like rotate out all the different characters with complete collections, which is a big task, a big undertaking, because you got to put them back in their boxes, all that kind of stuff. But like right now I've got Samantha up and I've got Kit. And so like I've got those two characters out that I was rotating. I just rotated out Josefina and Addie. So I brought those two characters in. But in 2 years, 2.5 years, I don't know if that's a problem or not. Maybe it is. Maybe I need to go to like an American Girls Anonymous. So we're just buy too much. I don't know. But
I blame a little bit you, a little bit listening to too much AGW, and a little bit volunteering a girl again, that I also have way too many dolls. And like, I'm sure my mom and my spouse would be embarrassed to know like how many dolls I've picked up in the past couple of years, like refurbed and customized. But it's a little bit of an addiction, and it's super exciting to like find stuff. I love buying like really sad secondhand dolls. Like, I found a couple of Goodwill, things like that, and refurbishing them. I've done a couple that are like portraits and gifted them to people, but also just like for my own. It's fun just to revive them and think about the kid who played with them. They were clearly very loved.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Totally. And the work that they can do on refurbishing them is actually like incredible. I haven't gone down this rabbit hole in a while, but like I follow AG Doll Cleaning on Instagram, and all of my dolls are no longer with me because my mom just gave them away. But we did find two of them, but they're in horrible shape. And I'm like, just kind of like hypothesizing, like, okay, I think I need to send these to AG Doll Cleaning because they're both Pleasant Company era. So I don't want them to lose any of their like original parts. But the things that they can do to refurbish are actually so incredible. And I kind of love that it's sort of like this bootleg refurbishment. Like, we're not just sending them to the to the store necessarily, but yeah,
it's like the original quality of them, like the high quality, the way they were made, and that they could stand up to the test of like kids playing with them so hard, but then can also be reloved 25, 35 years later.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No, seriously. And like, just the fact that the community is so strong that like, there's even like a platform for people to like find out, you know, where you could send your doll if you didn't want to send it back to American Girl. But yeah, I think it's so easy. Like once you get started to like, it is an addiction a little bit.
It kind of goes back to like kind of Pleasant's original vision for the company. You know, you talk about how these dolls have stood the test of time, even being played with, whether being really rough or not. Like that was the purpose, you know, for children in the, you know, when she founded it in 86, when the company was launched, to, yes, have something to play with, learn history, and find out what was it like growing up during these different times. But at some point to put your doll away and pass it down to the next generation. And I can see us all doing that. Maybe I'm having a little bit of a harder time doing that just because I'm a collector and that's what my passion is. But I think of Girl Again, and here's an opportunity for people who grew up with this brand of characters and loved them so much, but maybe don't have children of their own, and they're ready to donate them and let them live a second life, almost like that Toy Story life when Andy gives his toys to Bonnie. We're in that moment of let's clean these dolls so they stand the test of time for another 40 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it ensures they get back into the hands of somebody who really is going to understand the value and cherish them as well. So it's a great way to repeat the cycle of bringing American Girl into someone's life, for sure.
Absolutely. It's recycling.
Exactly.
Sustainability. So you two have formed this friendship over the years for your shared love of American Girl, but I think you've both taken it really to the next level and have started getting more involved with the brand in different ways that we would love to hear more about.
So I do a decent bit of presenting at conferences, a lot of museums and archives and historical conferences as part of my career. And I had seen some pop culture conferences come up for opportunities to present sessions. And so I had reached out to Blake and been like, okay, well, we've already been talking about all these things. Let's take it to the next level. Let's put some sessions together to present at various conferences. These are mostly like academic type things. I think our first one was the Northeast Pop Culture Conference, which was online. And then once you do one, you see these things come up and it becomes again a little bit of like a fun addiction, but really getting like the word out there about what we're studying, whether it's childhood dolls, specifically American Girl, how it relates to people who are now in their careers in history, in education, in the arts, and how they grew up with these dolls. So we did an awesome conference in February at the National Museum of Toys and Miniatures in Kansas City. We partnered with Connie Porter, who is the author of the Addie Stories, to present at the Black Doll Symposium that was held at the museum. And that was based on their Deborah Neff collection of Black Dolls. They were hosting the exhibition. And it was just a really awesome weekend of learning from all different kind of doll people, but I think also people then learning from us about the Addie story, because we heard so many comments before our presentation, afterwards, people coming up to us and chatting, like, I had no idea that so much research went into at all into any of the dolls, but specifically Addie is the first one who was so well researched that the advisory committee was prepared, all sorts of things like that. So that was really a highlight for me, was doing that conference. And we've since done a couple other ones and have a few others coming up. But Blake, what about you? Which has been your favorite so far?
That's a great question. I really enjoyed the Black Doll Symposium just because we got to present with Connie Porter.
And
yeah. You mentioned one thing that really stuck with me was there were a lot of individuals there that said Addie was their first doll, or they were really upset, or their mother or their parents did not want to buy them Addie. Janine and I couldn't necessarily talk about that just because we weren't there with the advisory board during the Pleasant Company time, but it was really inspiring to hear Connie Porter's take on it and kind of give her reasoning of why Addie is important and why she was so grateful to write her story. And it was a very engaging conversation. Yes, everyone else who had presented, some people would ask questions here or there, but really, because ours was set up like a panel, we did have a deck with us, but it was really with photos of the catalogs. It was some videos, all that kind of stuff. So it was more like media driven, but to really have that just a dialogue and open conversation. I really enjoyed that one. Plus, it was the first time I had been to that museum, and who doesn't want to go to a National Toys and Miniatures Museum? I have a virtual toy museum, but it's different to see that in person and to see how they collect it and how they exhibit it. So I really enjoyed that. But I would say the one that I also really enjoyed, just because we got to talk with so many other researchers, was the conference that we did in Pittsburgh. Oh my gosh, didn't we do those conferences back to back?
Yeah, it was like literally remember. 3 weeks apart. So I mean, it was spring 2025. It was still cold.
It was, yeah, I know it was still cold because I had plane problems coming home from Kansas City because of all the snow. But the conference at Pittsburgh, and Janine, you may need to correct me if I'm wrong, so I'm trying to think of its name. I think it was called...
Yeah, so it was a two-day conference, yeah, partly hosted by the University of Pittsburgh. It was the quote from the Rosemary Clooney song, Oh, You Beautiful Doll. And so the first day was like academic researchers, everyone who had been either studying at University of Pittsburgh or had applied, basically had papers coming out or publications coming out or presenting about them. And then the second day was at the Heinz History Center, which is also in Pittsburgh, but it's a little bit more pop culture focused, very much Pittsburgh focused, but they had a big ballroom and they hosted like a big tea party for kids. And then they had a number of different American Girl authors speaking as part of that. And so there was a really big turnout, a lot of kid fans, but a lot of adult fans too. And like, we chatted with so many people at that event and sort of like standing online afterwards for the book signing, that I think that's where we'll have some great future connections, I think, coming up, some potential interesting projects, potentially papers based on people that we specifically met in Pittsburgh.
Wow, that is so wonderful that you, number one, have gotten to participate in so many of these opportunities, because I think it also just speaks to the brand. It speaks to the importance of dolls in general in our culture and our history, but also like the ability to like even further spread those connections too with people who have had similar experiences, have the same vision. It's just really awesome to hear that there are so many people committed to speaking about this, preserving our history. It just sounds so awesome that you were able to participate in all that.
Yeah, definitely. Within the past two years since we last talked to you, there has been a huge amount of research. When I spoke to you last, I was talking a little bit about my essay about the connections between American Girl and Girl Scouts that was published in the American Girl Anthology, which is finally in print. And you spoke to a couple other people from that book earlier this year on the podcast. When I was doing the research for that, there wasn't a ton of peer-reviewed research. There was a lot of blog posts and, you know, Instagram posts and things like that. But there was maybe one or two theses that had been published. But since then, there has been a huge resurgence in sort of studying dolls and play, specifically as like our generation ages. And I tend to find, like I mentioned, it's people who are working in history or the arts or education or museums that say, oh, I had American Girl dolls as a kid, and that's why I think I ended up here, or why I was interested. And now all those people are sort of making connections in different ways. And like, let's explore this, like we're an interesting generation where we sort of bridged like manual play and digital play. And
yes,
so how did we learn from that? What did we do about it now? How do we learn from it now? How do our kids learn from it? And that's some of the things that I'm interested in exploring. Like, why was the time period so perfect for Pleasant Company? Like, why 1986 was the perfect time to launch?
That's such an interesting question to think about. Feels like all worlds colliding for that to be such a perfect time period for the brand. Like, it couldn't launch today in the same way that it had such like an impact 40 years ago.
Yeah, the competition for leisure time is so different than it was when the brand launched 40 years ago. But I think that there's something like of an organic spark or special spark that Pleasant had that any really successful company needs. And you can't manufacture that. It has to be there.
Exactly.
As a loving little piece of yourself that you're putting into the company to make it work.
Yeah. Such a moment in time, I think, really. And that also really, I know you mentioned the anthology. Janine, Lindsay and I absolutely adored reading all of those essays. But I think that just hearing everybody's personal experiences really is evoking exactly what you're saying. Like these specific people having this specific experience because of the specific person and time period that all came together to launch American Girl. It truly is like actually almost like insanely lucky that we've like existed to sort of like live in the peak time period of it. And so beautiful to read all those essays with so many different perspectives on it. It was just such a nice balance of like honest critique and like unbridled joy also. We were obsessed with it. It brought us so much joy to read about others' experiences. And I think like we wouldn't really have the opportunity to be reading about all these different people's experiences with American Girl if people weren't connecting like on the internet, at events, like this sort of bringing it up back into the public consciousness again.
Yeah, I'm thrilled how I'm so proud to be part of it. And again, it was all timing, like people meeting at a conference and putting a proposal together and finding people online. So that's how that sort of all came together. Like I only just met Casey and Justine in person for the first time when I met you in person last month. Like otherwise we had just been online friends.
I hope that the community continues to like yield more different, whether it's essays or other media like that. And I know that the two of you have been partnering even more. Obviously, you talked about all the different events you've attended together, but would love to hear about any fun stuff related to American Girl that you're working on now, whether it's with each other or solo.
Well, we are going to see each other in a couple of days in Colonial Williamsburg. We're meeting up for an event that Valerie's speaking at, and I'm thrilled to go back. I haven't been there since I was a kid. I know you're much closer, Blake, but we get to see each other in person every couple months or so when you're coming up to New York or things like that. But do you want to talk a little bit about some of the things coming up? Give some hints. What about the documentary?
Okay, well, that I was going to get into, but so I held that secret. It was announced back in December. There's a new documentary on American Girl. It's called All American Girls. And it is really the first documentary produced by a big production company about American Girl. And I was really grateful and blessed to be a part of it, just a little part of it. And really, this documentary is all that I know and what I can say is that it's really to highlight the brand's legacy over the last 40 years and really highlight Pleasant Roland and what it was with her vision and how that one vision and all the countless people that she hired to bring this company to life and that it's lasted and impacted so many people over the last 40 years. And so all I know is that the director and the producers were able to talk and interview not only with Valerie Tripp and Connie Porter and other authors and other former Pleasant Company employees, but also were able to talk to some fans. So I was able to participate and kind of give a little bit of history of what the company was, what my story with American Girl is, what it means to me, but at the same time was able to provide a little bit of my collection to them and help them develop B-roll. So the stuff that you would see on the screen while someone's doing a voiceover of some of the original catalog spread. So it was really cool to kind of bring my love of the original catalogs with my collection and recreate some of these timeless scenes that we have seen in these catalogs from the late 80s through the 90s and try to invoke what it was that those employees were tasked to doing. So that was really cool. But the great thing about this documentary is that Pleasant Roland herself is a part of it. It's the first time that she's really given an interview since the early 1990s. She really is someone who does not like to be part of the news and the media cycle, really stays out of it. Typically, you'll see her name in the news when she's doing some philanthropy or donations in the Madison, Wisconsin area, which is amazing because that community has just grown significantly in all that they've done, Pleasant and her husband, for the arts community and for children. So it's really cool to know that Pleasant will be a part of this. I from my understanding, she's given an interview. And so to see what she has to say about American Girl and her time with the company is going to be amazing. So I'm really excited. That's all I know. A lot of people have reached out. When is it going to be released, Blake? When is the date? I don't know any of that stuff. So it's kind of like how I am when I'm collecting for the characters. You wait to find it at the right moment. And I know that it's going to find the right moment to be released. And it'll be exciting. And I'm so proud of everyone that's worked on it. I've created some really close relationships and friendships with these people, both the filmmaker team and those people at Pleasant Company. So I'm really excited.
We're looking forward to seeing it, I know for sure.
I can't wait. Oh my God. We're going to be keeping our our ears out for when that gets released. But I mean, congratulations to both of you on all the work that you've done and the community that you're continuing to help foster. We're really excited to see what you both continue to do, because I think there's still a lot more ground that can be covered. We're just scratching the surface.
Yeah, so we're creating our own opportunities now by putting a blog on about our activities and our research on Blake's website. So on his family website for his museum, you can see we have a couple posts up already, and we'll be having some sort of schedule for continual posts about our various projects that we're participating in, about ideas, questions, like little known facts about Pleasant Company and things like that. So we're making our own opportunities to publish too.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Amazing. And I mean, the website, Blake, has just been, I mean, Lindsay and I have a lot of catalogs, but whenever we can't find something, we go right to the source, which is you. So we are so looking forward to seeing how the website continues to expand. So excited that you are both going to be contributing more into the space with the blog, and we're just watching from the sidelines, cheering you both on, because it's just great to watch your friendship and also watch what you guys do next.
I think that's the best part of the AG community, is everyone's so supportive, whether you're online friends, you know, in real life friends, or you just meet someone that happens to be wearing the same t-shirt as you.
Like, yes.
it's so lovely to just be able to like easily be friendly about it and have that shared experience.
Yeah.
Even if your experience is not exactly the same, it didn't have the same doll, didn't have the same,
totally,
you know, whatever, you're slightly older, younger, but it's just everyone is lovely and supportive.
We know so much about Pleasant Company and American Girl, but we've learned so much through these conferences. And so, as Janine was saying, like making our own opportunities, not everyone can attend these conferences. You know, not everyone could fly out to Kansas City. Not everyone could make the drive like we could to Pittsburgh. And so we thought, here's an opportunity for us to take what we've learned, what we presented, and share it on a platform, my museum's website, so that a greater audience can see it. And so I'm really excited to see where it goes. And we've already got some that are kind of scheduled. And like Janine said, we're working on some other ones that we're thinking about. And I'm already thinking about future exhibits and what I'm going to do. I've got a lot of big projects that not only am I working with Janine on, but I'm doing my first pop-up exhibit in the DC area, where we're taking parts of my...
I know.
So we're taking parts of my collection. We're going to go to a library. It's just for one day only, but it's an opportunity for the community to come, and we're calling it Back to School with American Girl. So it's going to have the first 7 characters and their school... like scenes and stories displayed. I've been working on placards and little cards to tell the story of what was school like for Kit in 1934, and why is Samantha's Buster Brown dress so important to Samantha's collection. So there's so many other big projects that we're working on, and so we'll be able to use this blog as a way to talk about those, whether it's something that Janine's working on personally or something that I'm working on personally related to American Girl. So I'm really glad that we're able to bring that together and push it out there so that everyone else can see it.
When is that happening?
It's happening in September. So I worked with the local library in Bethesda, Maryland, same library that did the Valerie Tripp event. Somehow Valerie, I think, said, you should talk to this young man right here. He's got a whole collection. And then it just spiraled out of control. I had to go to I call it my archives, which is my storage unit. I had to go to my archives to collect all the stuff so I could take individual photos. Because what I'm trying to do is, remember those pamphlets that you would get when you would buy, say, Samantha's Tin Lunch, and it would be like Samantha's school story, and it told everything about what was in that part of her collection for that story. Well, I'm trying to recreate something like that, but in poster boards, so that adults and children can learn about these objects that are on display in a story format, but also do a peek in the past of like, well, what was school like in 1904, you know, and kind of do a side-by-side.
Right.
But I'm really excited that it's taken a lot of time and energy. So it's probably the reason why you haven't seen a lot of posts from me online. It's just, I'm trying to get ready for that. But I'm really excited. It's a one day only kind of thing. So if you want to fly to DC, hopefully it won't be too muggy and humid, but it's an air conditioned library.
Well, we could truly chat with you both about American Girl all day. This just tells me that we're going to have you guys on once a year to talk about everything you're doing.
Right?
At least. But we would love to, since the last time we've had both of you on, we've integrated kind of a new segment into our interviews where we've been asking our guests if they were an American Girl, what three accessories would you come with? Blake, do you want to start?
I have to start? Okay. Okay, so number one, I know, don't judge me. So if it's Blake, you know, Blake as today, what would he bring? I would probably bring my laptop, just because I do so much research on it. That is something I would have with me all the time.
Absolutely.
You know, I've got two pets now. I have a dog, Charlie, a little miniature schnauzer, and I've got a cat named Daisy. So like, I don't think I can choose between the ones. So let's just say they're a two pack, you know, when you can get two.
Yep. Totally.
So that's my second.
Pets count as one.
Yeah, they count as one. You know, they come in the box together. So I would definitely take them because they're best buds, only when Charlie's not like, let's play, and the cat's and Daisy's like, no thanks, I just want to play. As for my third one, it would probably be a book. I'd probably take one of my American Girl. It'd be like my American Girl's collection book. So like, you know how they had like the story collections back in the, mm-hmm. the early 2000s?
Yes.
It'd probably be Samantha, Addie, or Kirsten. Those are some of my favorite stories. So that would be one of, those would be some of the three accessories I would bring with me, or be that would be come with the Blake starter pack.
Yes, like
there was a meet Blake doll.
Yes,
here's Blake's meet accessories, and of course, you know, he has glasses like Molly, so he's gotta have that as well. But that's part of the doll, not the accessory.
Exactly. That comes standard for sure.
Right.
In all the time that we've asked this question, I don't think we've ever called it the meat accessories. And that's exactly what this is. I love it.
Yes.
I think it is. Yeah,
what are your meat accessories? Oh my goodness. Oh my gosh. All right, Janine, what are your meat accessories?
So it would definitely be a Girl Scout uniform, probably my adult uniform. So since I talked to you last, I actually started a Daisy troop in my town in New Jersey. So I have a group of girls that I am, you know, stewarding to the next generation. So I would wear my adult vest, and then a stack of historical fiction, because that's my like guilty go-to paperback historical fiction when I want to not look at the computer and the screen. And then a whole box of art supplies, like some paintbrushes, clay, whatever, because I'm super crafty and always have some sort of experiment going on where I'm like, oh, I could figure out how to fix this clock or build this thing.
Absolutely. So yeah,
those would be my meat accessories.
So cute. I love that. Also love that you started a Daisy troop. That is so wonderful.
It's been really fun.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, I personally would spring for the meat accessories in both of your collections. They sound great.
Truly. This has been so wonderful to reconnect with you both and just hear more about how you've continued your American Girl journeys together. This is really so special, and we are so grateful that we were able to catch up with you both. And now, if people want to find you after this, where could they do so?
Yes. So there is my museum's website. So the museum's called the Chagnon Family Museum of Toys and Collectibles. So you can find us online at toysandcollectiblesmuseum.org. And then as for our social media, because I do post quite a bit on social media, the handle is C as in cat, F as in family, museum, and then T as in toys and C as in collectibles. So CF Museum TC. And you can find us on Instagram, Facebook, and if you're a professional, on LinkedIn as well.
And I'm mostly on LinkedIn at J9Beth. And I have some pictures of updated collections of things that have acquired since we last spoke, mostly dolls and Girl Scout uniforms, because I've gone down a very deep rabbit hole.
Incredible. Well, thank you both so much for joining us. And we will definitely be reconnecting with you so we can hear about everything else that you guys will have in the pipeline, I'm sure. But thank you so much for joining us. It was so wonderful to speak with you. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for listening to American Girl Women. For more AG Women content, follow us on IG at American Girl Women or send us your American Girl stories via AmericanGirlWomen@gmail.com. We might just read them on the pod. If you like this podcast, tell your friends and rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts.